Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. You made it for us to rejoice and be glad. And we thank you, Lord, that faith has a voice. Amen. And we want to hear your voice today. We want to hear what you have to tell us today. As always, we give our attention to you. Our hearts are given over to you, Lord. Feed us, help us, strengthen us, encourage us, and bless us with your word today in Jesus' name. Amen. And praise God. Amen. 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 So today we're going to talk about your faith in what? Your faith in what? Amen. Your faith in what? Your faith in what? People say, I got faith. Faith in what? Amen. So we got to make sure that our faith is focused appropriately so that we can receive what it is that we desire from God. And I think many times we get intimidated out of using our faith because it sounds so foreign to our natural understanding. Your own voice, when you speak faith, can sound strange to your ears. And I know we've all had that experience where you'll say, I'm healed, and then it's like, who's going to tell me I'm wrong? You know, you're like scared to put it out there. And that's because the prince of this world runs everything. He controls the atmosphere that we live in. You can live pretty peacefully as long as you don't say anything contrary to what he wants to see going on down here on earth. And then it's when the argument comes up. That's when you say something that opposes his, you know, what he's doing, what he values, what he is perpetrating down here. When you speak contrary to that and you speak the word of God, then you will receive a warning or a message or something that lets you know opposition is out there. It lets you know that there's some opposition to what you're saying. There's opposition to what you desire. There's opposition to your words. And the question is, are you going to be intimidated by the opposition, or are you going to continue to press into where God is so that you can receive what it is he has for you? This is a warfare that we're in, folks. It's not, you're not just going to confess the word and everything marches right up to your doorstep without a fight. Your major fight will be in your own soul for you to be convinced that God's word is true, that he's going to do it, and that he's going to do it for you. And he's going to do it in a way that's going to bless you. All of that has to be taken into account. All of that, the interference with the plan of God has to be eliminated before we can peacefully, in the way that God wants us to live, receive what it is that God has for us. God doesn't want us clawing and fighting and barely having enough. He wants us to have peace and rest. All of the fruit of the Spirit indicate that we're not to be agitated, we're not to be rushed, we're not to be pushed and upset in anything in life. God wants us to have that peace about us in an order in our lives, an order in our circumstances that indicates the hand of God in our lives. He doesn't want us to just barely have enough and then be wondering where it's going to come from the next time. He wants us to have a confidence. He wants us to have security in life. He wants us to know that whatever it is that he has done once, he will do again consistently. We've got to be consistent in our believing, though. And I think that's where the problem comes in. We are so concerned. You know, we still have this little thief inside of us that feels like, ooh, I stole something from God, and he better not find out I got it. You know, like the woman with the issue of blood. Amen? That's the way heathens think. But children of God have an inheritance. We can settle down and expect nothing but good. Now, there may come things arise in your life that are not good, but eventually they will bow to the word of God. They must bow because the greater one is speaking these things. He is the one who lives in us as believers. The greater one actually lives in you. If we will let him live, he'll do great things for us. Your life will be beautiful. And so that's what God wants for us. He wants us to have this beautiful life that only He has ordained for us. So I thought in talking about faith, your faith in what, we need to examine a little bit faith for healing, because it's all based on the atonement in Isaiah 53. So if you want to turn there briefly, and we'll go through this, and this is something God showed me recently in meditating on the Word, and this is why meditating the Word is so powerful and so effective. It's because it makes you pause instead of skimming over something because you've heard it before. You know how your mind will do that? It's like, this is different. Dealing with God is different than what you dealt with when you were in school. You know, in school, you use your natural mind for stuff. And your natural mind works like this. Let me find out what she want to get on that test, and I'm cram it in the night before, and then afterwards I can forget it. That's how your carnal mind operates. He just wants enough. Your carnal man is very lazy. He wants to steal everything, just like his daddy, the devil. Amen. Because that's where we were born and shaped in iniquity. So we have that iniquity in us still. And what God is doing through the new birth, He is crushing that old man. In fact, that old man is dead if we'll reckon him dead. Sometimes we give him way too much power, way too much authority, way too much time. Amen. And so as we walk with God, we'll learn how to just walk in focus on the things of God and de-emphasize the things of the flesh. You don't have to live in the flesh if you're a Christian. You can live in the Spirit. That's where you're supposed to live. That's where you thrive. That's where the goodness of God abides. He's trying to encourage us to live that way. And so when we understand that everything that we receive from the Lord is based on what Jesus did at Calvary, then you can go back there and get all the confidence you need for every single thing you need in life. Amen. And so as I was meditating on the Word, I was thinking to the Lord, I'm always trying to understand how to get God to manifest and what to help people with when we all need things from God. And so when I was looking at Isaiah 53, He was showing me this. He says in verse 4, it says, surely He has borne or carried our griefs or pains and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. So what that says is people, when they looked at Jesus, they thought He was being punished because He was a bad person. Amen. This is the unbelievability of the gospel. When Isaiah 53 starts out, he says, who's going to believe this? Can you believe this? This is unbelievable that this man was not crucified because of something he did wrong. That he was a holy and a just man who was instead killed for somebody else who couldn't pay the price for. Who's going to believe that? Amen. And so when we go out and we preach the gospel or we declare Jesus Christ, we have to let people know that He was holy, He was just, He voluntarily took on sickness for us, He voluntarily took on poverty, He voluntarily took on the whole of the curse just for us. But yet people put Him to death and felt justified in doing it like there was something wrong with Him. And so this is the unbelievability of the gospel and of Isaiah 53. And this is why you'll be benefited by meditating on it, because it is unbelievable. When it starts out saying who's believed it, what that says to me is you're going to have to put in some work so you can believe this. Don't skim over this. Don't, because it's so familiar to us, don't skip over it. I know you've heard it before. I have too. We need to hear it thousands of times before it'll really sink in. Because then after we're saved, we go right back to trying to earn our blessings from God. So you prove to yourself it's hard to believe. So you got to focus in on it. You know, it really blessed me. I mean, I was, and it blesses me still every time I reflect on it. When Mel Gibson did that first movie, The Passion of the Christ, he said that he got the inspiration to do it because he meditated on the fact of Jesus hanging on the cross and paying for his sins. And I thought to myself, my goodness, he meditated enough off that one portion of scripture to make a whole 2-hour movie. You know, that was seen by millions of people and is still being viewed. And millions of people don't know the story of the crucifixion. They don't know the story of Jesus. They know about him. It's like every time we hear that scripture, oh yeah, I've heard that before. I know about that. Well, they know about him, but they don't receive him as Savior because they don't know the truth. Amen. You got to focus on the truth to know it. Just like you, if you can focus on them crazy books they give you in school, you know, you get a whole big algebra book to get like two nuggets of truth out of that whole thing. X plus Y equals Z. You know, that kind of stuff. You got a whole big book just to show you that. Well, if you flunked algebra, you know, this is news to you. So it's, you missed the whole thing. You could have got that. You could have passed just by figuring out what it was about. Amen. And so when we understand the atonement, when we understand what God did, and just not just talking about it and saying, oh yeah, he died for our sins. What's that really mean to you? What's that really mean to you? And why do we feel guilty yet when we go to God? Why is the enemy able to throw guilt on us when we think we should have had something already and it's late? According to his schedule, and he's able to make us feel guilty, and we say Jesus died for our sins. If we believe that, then that guilty thing holding something up should never be in the process of your thinking. I mean, if you really believe it, you'll do what the Bible says, confess your sin. That's where most people miss it. They don't want to admit wrong. Even after you know somebody, it's like this. Somebody's paid your mortgage for life. And you still keep going to the mortgage company and say, did you get the payment this month? Did you get it? I'm going to say that again. Somebody's paid your mortgage for life and you call the mortgage company every month asking them if they got the payment. Why are you doing that? You don't believe it's paid. That must be true, or you wouldn't be asking. Because if they paid it one month, they paid it the next one. If they told you it's paid for life, it's paid for life. Why you keep checking up on them? So this is something we have, and see, there are people that get a gist of this grace thing, but then they want to skip over the confession part. That part I don't get. I feel better talking to God and just admitting to God how much I need him. And God, if there's something I'm doing that's messing me up here, messing us up, our relationship up, huh? Most of us, in order for God to get our attention, he got to hold up our money. Oh yeah, God, I forgot to confess. Oh yeah, Y'all know that's right. I mean, he knows how to get our attention. That's between you and him. You understand what I'm saying? But God wants us to believe him, period. I mean, and focus on increasing their faith and strengthening our faith and making our faith rock solid. So that we're unmovable, just like Jesus was, unshakable. We can't be moved off of what we believe when we believe the word of God. So in Isaiah 53, I was going over this the other day, and God stopped me. See, I like that because that means my prayer is being answered. I've been asking God, show me this. What's going on here? What's in this? And I need to know what's here that I'm missing. Got me? Well, you are missing some stuff. You know it because you don't have what you need as a result of believing that. There's a deeper meaning there, another believing that you need to do. And he said, if you look at, he is despised and rejected of men. Okay, he took that on himself. This means that these people don't really know who he is. A man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. So he's an enigma to these people. He's a question mark. But he surely has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we looked at him and said, this is a man that God's beaten up. There's something wrong with him. God's mad at him. It pleased the Lord to bruise him, the Bible says. God was pleased with him suffering, if you can imagine such a thing. Why? Because there was a greater something coming that was us. Not having to be smitten, not having to be stricken, not having to be sick, not having to be poor, not having to be discouraged and depressed. It says in verse 5, but he was wounded for what? And he was bruised for the chastisement of peace was on him, and with his what? We are healed. And that's what God showed me. He said, you've got faith in what, Barb? When you read that scripture, what are you basing your faith on? There's just one thing in there you need to base your faith for your health on, and that's the stripes. It said nothing about your confession. It said nothing about your faith. Not said nothing about how often you confess the word and say you're healed. It says nothing about that. What it does say, though, that his stripes healed you. You got to have faith that his stripes healed you. First and foremost, before you say anything, before you confess it, you gotta see yourself. That's all that I got to believe, God, that his stripes healed me. What that means is that he took a beating where you deserve one. You deserve to go to hell for everything you did, for the least thing you did wrong. He took a beating for that, and that's what gets you to heaven. Is his bruising, his beating, his shed blood, that's how you get to heaven. If you don't believe that all of that was necessary for you, you're going to skip over some stuff. That's why people trivialize their salvation. That's why people can walk away from church mad at people and don't look back ever, because they don't understand how they got saved. They don't understand what they deserve and that they don't get. See, if you really understand that, you won't walk away from anything God has anything to do with. You'll cling to him like nothing else. See, this is how, you know, some of the older church fathers, this is how, if you read some of their writings, man, they'll like take you to one scripture and write volumes on this, just that one thing. That God, why? Because they know how to appreciate what God has done. They know how to appreciate everything that God has set forth for us because he took on himself our punishment that we worked for. The wages of sin is death. Somebody else paid them wages for you. Jesus Christ paid those wages for you. Amen? And the way we thank him is by living right. Let him live through you now. That's how you thank him. Our mere words don't do anything. How did he show us he loved us? By suffering. And by dying. How do we show? He said, if you love me, do what I tell you to do. Obey me. Don't keep living raggedy. Don't keep being a pawn for the devil. Don't keep being stupid. Come and learn of me. Yoke up with me. That means don't ever leave me. Don't ever separate from me. Don't ever let some petty thing that you refuse to forgive separate you from me. You understand? He said, what I did for you was too costly. Nobody else could do that for us but Jesus. He's the only one who qualified. Amen? And this is why we appreciate. This is why we live. This is why no sacrifice is too great for us to give for him. You know, Christians kill me. Nowadays, you want to cash in on all the prosperity stuff before you even learn how to live right. You're not going to keep no money if you're crazy. Your mind is still messed up. You prosper and you are in hell as this prospers. Your head got to get straight before you'll even figure out how to get God to give you anything and be consistent in what you do to get it. Where the devil gets all of us is he puts inconsistency. All he needs to do is tell you, oh, if God was going to bless you with that, he'd have done it by now. And we listen to that all day long instead of going back to the word and say, oh, no, devil, God. Listen, devil, if I don't get a dime, I'm not serving you no more. I don't serve him for the money. I read Job already. Amen. You don't go for the okey-doke. You serve him because look at what he did for you. So I was sitting there and I thought to myself, when I was a bad girl in school, you know how little preachers in waiting are. You know, you're called to preach from the foundation of the earth. The gift is there. I tried to tell the teachers it was a gift that I talk so much in school, but nobody believed me. Shows you. Keep your gifts to yourself. But whenever I was caught being naughty, it was always the same thing. I would write 100 times, I will not talk in class. 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 You know, them rookie teachers would have you write it on the chalkboard, which they didn't understand. That was your audience. That was one thing you was looking for. You wanted more people to. Are they kidding me? That kept me talking every day. Then they wised up and said, go sit down and write some paper. Hand me some papers before the end of class. You got to have it 100 times on that paper. So this is what I did with Isaiah 53. Your stripes have healed me. Your stripes have healed me. Your stripes have healed me. It's your stripes that healed me. Your stripes. I believe that, Jesus. I believe it's your stripes. Not my faith, not my confession. Not my good behavior, not my not cussing for 10 days. You can just go on down the line. It's your stripes. See, if every time you veer off the main road, you can steer yourself right back to his stripes, right back to Calvary. You know, like the old saints will tell you, it's at the foot of the cross is where you'll find everything you need. Amen? So you steer yourself. Oh, why is it taking so long? Oh, no. I was healed by his stripes. Don't try to figure out how much confession to do. If you're going to confess anything, confess his stripes have healed me. His stripes have healed. It's his stripes that did it. It's not my faith. It's not my confession. You know, whatever we call faith, faith is what you make up from day to day. I mean, seriously, am I saying this enough? Am I saying that enough? Am I saying this enough? No, are you really believing that his stripes healed you? Just his stripes. Do you really believe that that was enough punishment, that there was a punishment that was supposed to come to you that didn't come to you, and that punishment includes sickness? Amen? Because disobedience always brings the curse. Now, we're not under the curse, but why are you disobeying? Because you lack faith to live right. That's what most people do. Amen? So you go back to your old ways. Well, you go back to your old ways and condemnation finds you. It makes you think that your symptoms mean that you really have done the ultimate bad thing now. You really going to get it this time because you really messed up. Not understanding that the atonement paid for past, present, and future sins. See, if you were that smart, you'd live right. Say it again. If people were that smart, they'd live right. Because knowing that God paid for future sins, most people, it doesn't give them, make them feel good that they're still sinning. See, it makes you feel, my goodness, Lord, you knew I was going to do this the first day I got saved, and here I am doing it anyway after I promised you I wouldn't. Do you feel good about that? No, you don't. You feel remorse. It's what you're supposed to feel. Somebody's paid for you and given you ability to live right, live clean, live holy, live sinless, walk free of disease, walk free of everything that would hinder your life. Somebody gives you a blank check like that, and then you just wave it in their nose and laugh and say, oh, I'm going to go do this anyway because I got a free ticket. Got me? So people who still live like that don't understand this. They need to go back here and really meditate and see what it costs you to be able to be forgiven over and over again. You skip over the price, you won't value anything. That's why a lot of times they need to stop all the welfare and put people to work. Do you understand me? Because once you get in that pipeline, somebody's always telling you, heard about this, you can apply for this and get this and get this. And you'll never live out of poverty. Be generational, what they call generational poverty. Got me? And it can be generational sin, too, where you just don't believe. Yeah, you know, people go to church all the time and then just leave church. And I don't know, you know, it ain't worth it to, you know, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. You're supposed to be dead to that. You're supposed to be expecting a brand new life in Christ. It's not been revealed to you yet what you are and what you can be. You got to have some patience with yourself to learn who you are, understand who you are, so that you can receive the blessings of God. He don't give nothing to thieves. His kids don't steal. Remember, thou shalt not, that's in the thou shalt not category. So we don't steal. And most of our Christian lives, God is working to get the thief out of us. Because the minute he tells you to give something, you just pass out on the, oh, Lord, have mercy. Oh, Lord. You know, that's the thief crying. He wants to live and rob you, continue to rob you. Amen. God wants kids that are like him. He don't want no, you know, so where'd you come from? You don't look like me. Huh? He don't have that running around the family. All his kids look just like him. Amen. So, his stripes are what healed us, folks. You've got to settle in on that. You've got to understand that. You've got to rely on that. Now, when did he receive stripes? Everybody's scared to answer. What's wrong with y'all? Miss Vicky, can I please get an honest person in here and tell me when did he? There you go. When he's crucified at Calvary. We can say that. It's a finished work. That's why we call it finished. It did everything. And we're not waiting on it to be done. That's what that means. So you're not waiting on your healing. You're healed now. You got it? You're healed now. That's how you can say you're healed now. You don't say it just because you read a scripture. You say it because those stripes have been given to him 2,000 years ago. And if you believe they paid for you to be well, then you can say, I am healed. I believe that paid for me. I am healed. A lot of people read that scripture and don't believe nothing. They just run around parroting, I'm healed. Because everybody else says it. And you don't want to be out of the club. God forbid we get excluded from another club. You know, we want to join the I'm healed club. Huh? You know, a lot of clubs you join as Christians. I got a word for you, club. Huh? I'm a prophetess or I'm a prophet club. Got me? I'm a prophesy to you club. All kind of clubs we join. You join them based on what you say that you think impresses everybody else that you believe what they believe. But we don't want to be left out. The confession Nazis get on you, man, and you don't want them people on your case. Well, you shouldn't say that. You should say, you ever been around them people? They correct your confession all day long. That's the confession Gestapo. And they will crucify you if you have a bad confession. If you say anything they think you shouldn't say. So we got a lot against us, folks. When you talk about speaking faith and speaking it from your heart and believing in your heart the truth about God's word, you got a lot of pressure against you. You got the world, you got the devil, you got religious devils, you got all kinds of pressure. But the fact of the matter is, you've got to believe that Jesus' stripes healed you. Just his stripes. Just his stripes. Why are you trying to figure out if you confessed enough? See, it's a distraction. Feeling like your confession gets you healed is a distraction. I will say it again. Feeling that your confession gets you healed is a distraction. You got it? What really healed you? Hello? His stripes. His stripes. You know, there are people that get healed and don't know nothing about confessing the word. How's that happen? Wait a minute. You mean they don't confess it 1,000 times more a day than I do and they still get healed? I was one of them. I got healed. I never darkened the door of a church. God healed me. I couldn't tell you the steps and formulas I went through, but I stayed in the Bible because that's where I found peace. That's where my mind didn't torment me. That's where I felt like my hope was. I just stayed in the Bible. And finally, I believed. I said, God, you can do this. In fact, I'm getting better all the time. Every time I get in this Bible, I feel better. And I think if I stay in here, then I'll be better and I'll be able to get back to work. I'll be able to be, you understand what I'm saying? I'll be normal. Now, faith people will look at me and real strange. Like I didn't come through the club to get my healing. Or they'll say, well, don't tell people that. 'Cause I teach this over here. I got books I'm making money off of teaching my stuff. Don't tell nobody nothing. But you're healed by his stripes. They've been given already. Amen? If you look at Isaiah 53 enough, you'll finally start believing that. Oh, okay, yeah. I don't have to worry about getting sick again because it's paid for. It's done. It's a done deal. But for those of us who got the steps and formulas stuck in our mind everywhere and, you know, everything's got to be just so. Got a little religion, got some faith, a little religion. We got a mixed bag of stuff. You know, it's like, what stuff do I pull out of my bag today to make sure I get what I need from God? Just have to have faith in him. Some people just believe he's a good God. And something clicks inside of them. Amen? And before you know it, they're healed. You know, I've seen people come up to the altar that lived sin and get healed. You know, I'm still trying to figure that one out. I put it out of my mind because, you know, some things you just don't tamper with. Secret things belong to the Lord. I don't recommend it if you're a believer. Live holy. You'll be in fellowship with God. You'll receive a lot more by holy living. But God's mercy covers everything. He says, I'll have mercy on whomever. So what healed us? His stripes. That's right. His stripes. His stripes. You got to believe it's his stripes, folks. At the end of the day, if you didn't confess the word enough, it's his stripes. You're healed already. Amen. You don't confess the word to impress God with how much you're doing. You know, I'm doing this, God. I'm doing. See, you can get into work so fast after you've enjoyed the life of faith and enjoyed a carefree life with God. You can flip over into work so fast. Just let a paycheck be held up. I'm serious. Let any kind of, where you think is supposed to be here and it ain't here. A lot of times you think stuff ain't here and it's here and you just misplaced it. You ever been there? Or you pull out the bank statement and you think it says 8 and that's a 6. You got me? Your eyes can blur on you in a minute when you're in fear. Somehow you think there's never enough. If you flip into that mentality, yeah, you could be worshiping God and feeling good, and then afterwards, a few minutes later, you something will hit your mind and say, you better look for so-and-so and so. You better make sure that you have your river. Just wants to threaten you. So we've got to be solid in what does what. You got to know that his stripes healed you. Not your confession, not your, and unless you're confessing that it's his stripes that did it, you gotta confess the truth about the matter. Amen? You can't keep going around saying, I'm healed, and have no foundation for believing that. See, Isaiah 53 is your foundation for believing that you're healed. You can't say it because everybody else is saying it. I mean, that might help you some, but you got to know what really healed you. What really healed you is the finished work. The work that took sickness off of you and put it on him. He's carried our sorrows, our pains and all of that. He did it already. So he has already carried those things away. And we are healed with his stripes. I'm telling you, I sat there and I wrote that at least 100 times. I think maybe 50. Then I took a picture of it and put it on my phone. So every time I go through my phone looking for stupid photos to put on some more of my food to put on Facebook. Like I'm getting everybody else to overeat with me. Understand what I'm saying? You know, I can look at that and that'll bring me back into what actually I am standing on. I'm standing on the fact that he was beaten bloody so that I don't have to bleed. He was pained so that I don't have to have pain anywhere in my body. He was broken. His body was broken so mine could be whole. Whole of what? Whatever. Whole of high blood pressure, diabetes, cancer, whatever it is, so that I can be whole. That's what healed me. You know, I'll be honest with y'all. For the longest time, when I would read the Gospels, I didn't want to look at the crucifixion. I would kind of skip over that. Oh, yeah, at the end he gets killed. I want to see that. I just hate seeing that. Yeah, it's the devil telling me to skip over that. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says all scripture is profitable. So if you're reading the whole book, read the whole book. All this fake sympathy and emotionalism and all that kind of stuff, it's got to go when you start building up your spirit. Now look at that. If you don't look at it, you'll miss something. I missed this for quite a while by not really looking at and understanding that stuff is in the Bible for our edification, not for you to feel guilty. You're going to feel guilty because you put him there. Amen. You know, now we can blame the Jews. We can blame the Romans. We can blame anybody, but we put him there. Because he wouldn't have gone there if we hadn't sinned. Been born in sin, shaped in iniquity. You can try to get yourself out of it any kind of way you want to, but you put him there. Why? Because you get the benefit of him being there. That's how you know you put him there. Amen? Because he benefits you to believe that what he did was full punishment payment for your sins and your iniquities. Iniquity is your little scheming and your little planning and trying to figure out how to get stuff without going to God. Say it again. Iniquity is your little scheming and planning, trying to figure out how to get stuff without going to God for it. Well, you don't have to bother God about everything. Why not? It's no bother. He said, come to me. Do that sound like bother to you? What that sounds like is I got some suspicious kids down there that might try and work some stuff on their own. So come to me instead so you don't get in trouble at the end of the day. You ever had somebody promise to do something for you, came time for it to be due, and they didn't show up with it? Many times. Many times. You ever ask God first? And if God sent you to somebody, they came through for you? Uh-oh. The people that we don't like to go to are usually the ones God sends us to. Why don't we want to go? Uh-oh. I won't answer that for you. You answer it for yourself. Huh? Yeah, because, you know, when you follow God's way, you feel embarrassed. You feel ashamed. You feel like this person. There's a holiness there when God sends you to certain people. I'm going to say it again. There's a holiness there when God sends you to certain people. You want to do the right thing around them. You want to be honest and upstanding. If you make a commitment to, you know, for whatever, you want to follow through on it when that person, God sends you to that person. You know you don't play around with them. You got to be honest. Your little buddies, you can tell, I'm going to pay you Friday and never show up. You understand what I'm saying? There's a big difference. So that's why God says you come to me and ask me. So God wants us then to look at exactly what it took for us to receive what we have in the hopes that we will appreciate it and we will be honest about it. We will confront it in the right way. And in that way, he's able to do a thorough job with us. Amen. Get you to understand the seriousness of the atonement so you don't throw your salvation away for a morsel of bread or for a free ride for something or a chance to get away with some sin, you know, hoping nobody will find out. Got me? It's just, these are things God has to take care of to keep us saved and to keep us prospering and to keep us being blessed. He wants to keep blessings in your life. And this is why we face what it is that we did to Jesus. We did that to him. Our sin caused him to have to suffer like that. It's not just a confession, folks. It goes way beyond that. There's a reality there that we have to face, that here's a man that did no wrong. No fault was ever found in him, yet he took all fault for us. So that should stop you from taking sin like a joke. Or, you know, them church people, I don't tell them nothing. Because you understand what I'm saying? Cut that out. Quit trying to pull the wool over on people who are anointed by God. Take advantage of them like you just go pull the wool over their eyes, tell them anything, and they'll believe you. You understand what I'm saying? Just cut it out. We don't do that with people in the world. No people in the world come looking for you for a dime. You owe them something, they'd be to run you over with their car for the least little thing. So we're healed by what? His stripes, not our confession, not our quote-unquote faith. Now, faith in his stripes, that's something different. But you're still healed by his stripes. Don't get it twisted. Don't start thinking just because you confess the word so much that you're safe. What do you really believe in your heart? You believe this will get you healed. Amen. It will cause the manifestation. It will cause you to walk free of every single symptom. Once you see it was laid on him and you really believe he took your place there, it's all over except the shouting. Once that reads. So meditate on that. Meditate on the stripes. Meditate. Don't do what I did. Skip over the crucifixion because you don't like to see that part. You understand what I'm saying? Allow yourself to let that sink in. Let yourself appreciate 100% what Jesus has done for you. So part of our getting better or our getting symptoms removed from us is the confrontation part. We've got to look at our symptoms. We have to look at disease. We have to look at it and know that there's a power in us that has overcome it. It's not afraid of it. You know, sometimes people will say, oh, I'm healed, because they don't like to talk about symptoms, or they don't like to talk about how they feel, or they, you know, there's something borderline dishonest about saying you're healed when you still have symptoms that we all know is there because it's not evident in the natural. Amen. So what we need to do is say, I'm healed by his stripes. So that means I'm healed now. Amen. We need to, instead of just giving ourselves this like little pat answer all the time, we need to meditate out and understand exactly what it is that we are believing, so that we can be settled on the inside that it's more than just a confession. It's a real fact. It's a real act. It really did happen. This was really taken away from me by God, and this is how he did it. And so many times that little pat answer doesn't get you alleviation from your symptom, doesn't get you total manifestation, because there are too many gaps and holes in it. There's too much. It's cheesy faith. You got me? It's got too many holes and gaps in it. So we got to fill in those gaps with a real understanding of what healed us. But confronting it and looking at it and saying, God, this isn't good. I've got, you know, my blood pressure stays up and it won't come down. I've been speaking to it and it's not happening. I'm going to have to go to the next level, or what do I have to do? And what God wants us to do is start to more confront things instead of run from them. Because your confession can allow you to run from stuff. And you hide behind your confession and say, disease, don't bother me. Don't find me. I don't want to, you know. So turn to Numbers chapter 21, and I'll show you something that God made them do back in Israel. And sometimes you do have to confront. Maybe there's an underlying reason that these symptoms don't move. Maybe there is a real something else that I got to deal with thing. You know, you can hide behind a confession. By his stripes I'm healed. I'm healed by his stripes. But you still haven't confronted God. You know, this thing hasn't moved yet. Maybe there's something else working here underneath. That the confession won't, confession, as sometimes your confession can be a cover up, amen, for a more serious issue. You know, some people are just chronically scornful and disobedient. They just have something in them that don't take nothing serious, you know. They don't let things settle in on them the way it continually kicks your faith out. You know, you don't want that working in you. You got to understand how to get what they say hard down serious with God. You know, strip all the facade off. Take all the confession and what you say and how you look and pretense and all that and say, God, examine me. If there's any fault in me. You don't ever hear Christians saying that anymore. You know what it's been a few months ago, maybe a year ago, actually, it's been that long ago, that the Lord just started directing me to Pastor Cho. It was after he passed away, and I thought to myself, God, this man has died now, you know, and he was such a powerful force for you, and still is, you know, I mean, they've got tons of his teachings on. But you know what? People were interested in him because he had the largest church in the world. You know, when they stopped being interested in him was when he told them how he got it. And they found out he prayed 6 hours a day. And they tried to minimize, you know, the importance of prayer. Once you find out what really makes people tick with God, then you don't want it. Look at Katherine Kuhlman, how people admired her and want to be like, well, you want her drama, you want her crowd, you want her whatever, you fame, whatever you think she's got, but you don't want her lifestyle. When she said living for God was a lonely life, and people say, well, I've been lonely before. It's, you know, I mean, that's her interpretation of it. I think what she meant was, you don't have a lot of friends, you don't have a lot of fans. Because people somehow become a distraction when they're real important to you. I'll say it again. People somehow become a distraction from God when they're real important to you. Got me? Now, if you're one of them people that don't like people, you're not going to be real close to God either. You understand what I said? There's a balance here. But she had to make the Holy Spirit her best friend because she didn't have any. Got me? Or not many. She's a very persecuted lady. But I listened to Dr. Cho talk about tabernacle prayer. That's what he called it. And he patterned his way of praying with the tabernacle system in the Old Testament. And he talked about the brass laver. And he said that that was the basin where the priest would wash himself. You know, it's made of brass, and it was like a bowl. And they pour water in it. He'd cleanse himself. But he said, in the bottom of that laver, you could see your reflection. He said, and I would stay there for as long as I needed to. He said, I stayed there at least an hour, asking God what to confess, so that I wouldn't get out and mess up things, that I would cleanse my heart. Now, how many people do that every day and spend an hour doing it? Come on, y'all. See, we're taught grace. You skip over that part. Oh, you don't have to keep confessing your sins all the time. God forgives you. Of what? My Bible says confess and then you forgive. You understand me? It's like those people that are in on trial, and in the proceedings, the judge will say something like, well, this person, I'm going to have to give him the maximum sentence. Why? He showed no remorse. Mercy comes when you show remorse. Even a man can hold you to that. And if man holds you to it, what do you think God holds you to? See, if you never see your mess up, you don't know what to clean up. And if you think you're getting a by with something, you think God is just like you. Bible says that. He said, all the years I winked at your sin, you thought I was just like you. Now you have found out I'm holy. Surprise, surprise. Huh? So anyway, in Numbers 21, we'll start in verse 5. Interesting. It says here in verse 4, they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. How many of us confess discouraged? Oh, I was just so discouraged. I was disappointed. I was this. You shouldn't do that. You should be encouraged all the time. See, you don't respond to negative by reinforcing it with your mouth and with your thinking and embellishing it and thinking that's a reason for not being obedient. And the people spake against God and against Moses. So if you stay discouraged, guess who you're going to start talking about? Guess what? Where your mouth is going to get you in the most trouble is where you start saying God isn't going to do it, God won't do it, God didn't say, you start doubting God because of your attitude and your reaction to your circumstances. That's why the Bible tells us something we've never heard before. Count it all joy when you run into diverse trials. When things aren't going well, count it all joy. Oh, this is a new thing. You mean, you don't think it's normal? Now listen, it's normal to be. Everybody gets that way. That don't mean it's going to benefit you. You going where everybody else is or you want to go with God? I mean, you make up your mind. You don't have to do anything. But I'm telling you what it's going to cost you. It's like I'll tell people something. I say, you know, that's real expensive what you're saying right there. Them words are very expensive. You don't want to pay that bill when it comes due. You better ask God to forgive you of that and quit thinking like that. Go get in your word. Take that back. And the people spoke against God and against Moses. Wherefore have you brought, here we go, accusing God, accusing the leader. Why did you bring us up here out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There's no bread. There's no water. Now, they complained when they were in Egypt. So it's not like they were happy there. This is just something to throw at. This is the way accusation works. It never makes sense. It never makes sense. People out there accusing us Christians of being haters because we don't agree with them and their sinful lifestyle. Well, the day you do that, you lose God. So you either want God or you want fame with the people. Shock you how many preachers have chosen the latter. Say, why'd you bring us up here? We can't even get a little bit of bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, ooh, guess what? See, if the only way, and this is why so many people run to God in trouble. Because they know something's wrong when things aren't going well. Christians and non-Christians alike, unfortunately. Therefore, the people came to Moses and confessed their sins. This is repentance, folks. It's exactly what, that's all that is. We see it now. We understand now. I see where I made my mistake, God. I see where I got off on the wrong foot. I see where I trusted in the arm of flesh and I didn't trust you. I see it now. See, when God opens your eyes, all you got to do is agree with what you see. And he says, and Moses prayed for the people. They asked him, they said, we spoke against you and against the Lord. Now, how do they know that? Because they keep doing it and do the same thing, sin over and over again. Somehow that's the way it is with us. There's one something you like too much to let it go. Amen? And that's what gets you in trouble. And he said, take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. Ooh. Interesting. In other words, lift up the serpent or lift up the enemy of the people. Lift up the problem in front of the people, and anybody who looks at it will live. Lord, many times we should check certain things in our lives to see how our health is going. And we want to shy away from, we don't want to see them. Confront that thing. Just confront it and start speaking to it. Amen? Because your words will put that thing to flight faster than you're running away from it will. See, all the people that ran from the serpents are still running. God says, stop running from your problem. Confront that sin. Stare that devil right in the face and let him know he has no more power over you. Confrontation always strips the devil of his power. Fear increases it. Fear will keep that thing in your life. That's why sometimes when you've been praying for a number, a period of time, and things haven't moved, you need to go to God, confront it. With God. Say, God, I've been standing on the word for this for I don't know how long, and it still hadn't gone anywhere. Can you tell me what the issue is? Can you tell me what the problem is? Can you tell me? What do I need to do? And always go to him in faith. Don't go to him thinking you won't get it. I'm going to say that again. Go to God in faith, not condemnation. You know, when we go to him and say, well, what am I doing wrong? You're already condemning yourself. You need to say, God, what do I need to do to make this manifest, to bring it in faster? If I'm holding things up, I need to learn how to cooperate with you because I know you want me well. When you go to God and say, what am I doing wrong? That almost means he don't want you to have it. That puts you in 20 questions as how to do it right so you can please God. You see the difference? And how many of us, when we start thinking about how long it's been, you pretty much know what you're not doing. You let your mind wander. You're over there putting time on your promise when God says it'll come in due season. God, help me. You know what you need to do? Go to yourself and slap yourself. Say, God, listen, I got it now. I'm trying to put you on a timetable, and I got to take you off of that. This may be one of those things that I've got to exercise patience for the due season of it. Or sometimes we're not talking to the thing like we used to. You ever get yourself on the 3-day miracle track? Got to get it in 3 days. Lillian Yeoman's got all her people healed in 3 days. It can be done in 3 days. I'm going to do it in 3 days. 3 days comes and goes, and it's not there. Like, what do I do for an encore? What do I do now? You got me? You go to God, which you should have done in the beginning, instead of picking up somebody else's method and plopping it down in God's lap. You go to God. And commit yourself. I don't care how long it takes. You ever hear yourself saying that? No, because we don't say that. Because we do care. But you can get yourself in the trusting God category deep enough where you don't care. I'm going to say it again. You can get yourself in the trusting God category deep enough where you don't care how long it takes. You can be the laughing stock at the pharmacy, still taking that little stupid water pill. God, it's just one pill. Do you understand what I'm saying? For 30 years. It doesn't take that long. How do you know that? You don't know what God's working in people. See, there's more at work than just you getting what you think you want. God's got to get glory out of your life, folks. Smith Wigglesworth was in deep pain. He had I think it was appendicitis or a kidney, something wrong with a kidney or something. He would have to dismiss himself sometimes, walk off from the meeting because the pain was so bad. And he was a man of faith. You can't say he didn't believe the word, because he did. He believed it for himself. He believed it for other people. But it still persisted much longer than even he thought it should. I think he finally did get victory over it, but it took time. Hello? You know, he was advanced in age. I think it was toward the end of his life in ministry. Sometimes you're believing God for something for you will keep you here longer. For other people. Just a thought. I mean, faith is what we're expecting something. Sometimes when you feel like you've done everything for God, you've seen every miracle, you've seen a bunch of healings, you can get satisfied with life. Maybe too soon. You have no idea. We don't know how this works. I'm just throwing that out there for consideration. You throw it back if you want to, but I won't take it personally. But these are things to consider. You know, that sometimes things linger. You ever have somebody come and stay with you for a while? You know, they were maybe in an emergency financially or something, and they had to stay with you. You get used to them being there. You start, you know, making accommodations for them. You know, are you comfortable? Let me get you this, or let me get you that, or let me get you that. And then they'd say, oh, you know what? I can move now. I got my so-and-so. And you say, oh. Now, come on, folks. You know, we're people. We're people. You're going to miss them. At first, you didn't want them there. Come on. Well, you don't think God feels that way about us and having company with us? And, you know, since she's been ailing a little bit, I can't get her off the throne room. She here all the time. You got a little comfortable chair over there. She come park herself there and just worship me and thank me and everything. Just due season for everything. He knows how to keep you good. Now, yeah, God don't keep you sick because he wants company. No, you're the one who's getting his company finally. You're getting the benefit of it. It's not because he's so lonely he make you sick so you can come visit him. That's just crazy. But you need to be around him. Amen. It does you good. And he loves sharing. He loves fellowship with us. Now that's true. Anybody that give their life so they can be your friend, they must love you. Not just the thought of you, they like your company. They like you coming by to worship. They like teaching you things about the kingdom so you can live a better life down here. They like all aspects of it. The Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. There's such a thing as us pleasing him. But what does that mean, without faith, it's impossible to please him? I'm still trying to find out. That's just like a question mark to me. God, I believe you. Okay. I believe you a little bit more than I did yesterday. I believe you. Does that please you? We never know when we please him, do we? Why? That's why we keep going after more faith. That's why we stay in the word. That's why we do things that are obedient to God. God, what are you doing? Show me somebody that I need to pray for today, Lord. Point somebody out to me, God. Show me somebody I can bless. We're all eager to please him. But we never know when we hit the mark, do we? So that becomes the quest of our lives. Developing our faith, staying in the word, worshiping God. All of those things. So that we can have proper fellowship with him. We can properly please him. And that's why when days go by and you haven't received what you've been believing for, you get alarmed. Where have I been? I haven't been in the presence of God. I haven't been worshiping Him like I used to. When I was broke, I worshiped Him every 5 minutes I got. I'd come back into my little closet and thank God for something. His praise was continually in my mouth when I was broke. Now I got 3 nickels to rub together and I'm cool. You understand? Been missing for a while. And this is how we live. There's no shade to nobody. No condemnation here, folks. This is the fact of the Christian existence. The Bible says that the kingdom is like this. People come in and out. They find pasture. In other words, I can get in there and rest. God, I can worship you and your presence shows up and everything's good. And then I run and go do something else stupid. Amen. And get away from you. Then I find myself over here and I haven't talked to you in a while and I don't have that feeling of peace like I used to have. And then I am running back. It's the same all the time, back and forth, back and forth. Nobody stays there. Amen. We'd love to. And so God wants us to be able to confront the things that separate us from Him. When the children of Israel confronted that fiery serpent, they looked at that and they said, this is the thing that I'm being penalized for my disobedience. But God, I repent. And that means I don't run away from it anymore. See, when you confess and your sin is wiped away, that makes you fearless in that respect. You know, they weren't afraid of the serpents anymore. Why? They had no reason to. They were holy people again. They were in right standing with God again. So when you're in right standing with God, you don't fear the devil. You don't fear, you know, when somebody sends you a bad report, you don't get all shook up. You say, you know what? His stripes took care of this. I don't care what your lab report says. His stripes took care of this. God, I am healed. And you show me what to do to make that a reality in my life. That's your confession. God, show me what to do to make that come to pass. How do I live? How do I pray? How do I study the word? What, give me what I need to keep my faith strong and make it stronger so that can be a reality in the natural realm. It can manifest. That's what you want. So when you believe that you're healed by His stripes, you go in with assurance that you'll get the job done. Your faith will get the job done. Amen? You don't have any doubt about that. Why? Because your faith is standing in the wisdom of, in the power of God and not in the wisdom of men. The wisdom of men is you got to confess it so much. Oh, you can't get your faith. Oh, don't say it like that. You can't say that. Why not? I ain't feeling good today. Maybe God's mercy will just shower on me and take this pain out of me. Do you understand what I'm saying? You can be a normal person and still be in faith. Because you're not confessing that you believe that your illness is more powerful than His stripes. You got it in proper order. Amen. So if somebody asks you how you feel today, you know what? I could use a little prayer. You don't have to play the game. Amen. You can say, you know what? I've had this pain here and I just believe that if I get prayer for it, it'll go away. You understand what I'm saying? Don't be afraid to come to the altar. I know I seem rough and tough, so I'm tough on the devil. I don't want the devil to carry anybody out of here. You understand what I'm saying? But ask anybody here. I'm real sweet when it comes to ministry. But you know what I'm saying. Don't you know, sometimes it is the devil that's trying to keep you back from what it is that you desire. And so we want to be normal people, but I'm telling you, stay focused on His stripes. That's the key to your healing all the time, much more than your confession. Let me tell you something. The woman with the issue of blood, what did she confess? She didn't. We never heard that she said it out loud. She said it within her. Hello? It's what's in there. That's where your faith is. That's where it resides. That's where, you understand what I'm saying? You can have what you say inside or outside. Sometimes your outer confession, you need to button that up, because I'm telling you, them confession Nazis and religious spirits, you get in some of these places where you can see them at the door, man. They looking at you up and down and trying to figure out what you packing. I ain't packing nothing. Y'all can frisk me. I just love Jesus. You understand what I'm saying? But you can, you need to be wise. That's all I'm saying. You need to be wise. But was she meditated it till it became real to her? Sometimes you can speak it out so much you don't even believe it anymore yourself, because you start judging your own confession. You got me? So there's a balance here, folks. There's a, you know, you can have what you say, but I'm telling you, that lady couldn't say it aloud to nobody. All she got, all she was able to say out loud was, I'm unclean. But yet, by her meditating within and coming to a conclusion with the Holy Ghost, amen, that's who you're talking to when you talk within. You're talking to God. You're talking to the Holy Ghost. He can give you a plan for total success in everything. But I'll tell you this too, your confession will change the atmosphere around you. As believers, we're entitled to have a faith-filled atmosphere around us. Amen? And oftentimes we do need to confess that we're healed out loud so that we'll hear ourselves say it and we'll believe it. But you're not, your confession is not healing you, folks. It's your faith in the stripes of Jesus that gets you healed. Don't get it twisted and don't get discouraged because you've been confessing it for so much and so long and you haven't seen anything. It's what do you believe inside that's really going to get you healed? What do you believe inside? And once you believe that it's paid for by his stripes and you are healed really because of his stripes, not because of what you said about it. Amen. He took a real beating. He took a real, he paid a real price for us. And it's that price and that beating that caused the Father to look down at us and say, take it off of them. They don't deserve it. My son's paid for it. Let them go free. They don't deserve any penalty. It's not for them. And once that price was paid, then we were healed by his stripes. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you that our faith is in the right thing. It's in what you did. You paid full price. You paid the penalty. You bore stripes on your body that affected our healing. And we are healed because of that. Not because of what we say about it, but because of that act that was done on our behalf. And I thank you, Father. Release your people from religion, from condemnation, from fear, that they have to do something else to get you to heal them, because we're healed already by his stripes. Amen. The gavel in the court of heaven has already gone down on that, and we are healed because of the stripes of Jesus. And we thank you for it, Lord. In Jesus' name, praise God. If anybody needs prayer, I'll pray for you. Praise the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you.
healed by his stripes. That's it. That's the end of the story, end of discussion. Because his stripes paid for our healing, we are healed. Believe it. Talk to God about it. Thank him for it day and night. Thank Jesus for his stripes day and night. Jesus, I don't believe you took a beating for me when I was at my worst. You looked at me and you loved me and you had compassion on me. And you took that in my place. You shamed yourself so that I could have my dignity back. You allowed yourself to be mutilated and you took it. You didn't make them stop, not one time. And I thank you, Lord, you did it so I could be healed to the uttermost. Every single cell in my body is well because of what you did. And I thank you, Lord, for your stripes. Father, bless your people. Be healed by the stripes of Jesus. Right now, receive it. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen again. Praise God. Amen. I don't have Rona. She don't have me. I can't get Rona. Even this new one they found, I can't get that either. Amen. And it can't get me. I don't have it. You talk about whatever else. Look at the serpent in the eye and tell it you don't have it anymore because you're healed by his stripes. We don't have any of those things, Lord, and they don't have us. And we thank you, Lord, that by your stripes, we are healed. Amen, amen, amen again. It is so decreed. Amen. Praise God. Praise God.